Hey Ken, why can't we convert office properties into residential real estate?
You know, it's such a good question. We have a 30-year high on office vacancies in Toronto. About 25% of Class B office space is vacant right now. And combined, we have 12.9 million square foot of office space in Toronto that's completely vacant. At the same time, one bedroom condo leases are at $2,600 on average. So if we converted the office space to residential, that would help a lot in the prices.
Great, I've got a couple of questions. Namely, how do you convert a property into residential real estate? How many housing units can you create? Who will handle the finances? And will this be enough to solve our housing crisis?
Those are great questions, Michael, and I'd love to answer it in this video. So I know it sounds great in theory to have workers right in the core of office towers to help service labor requirements and all that stuff, but it's not as easy as it sounds to convert housing from office towers to residential. In times like this, when people are leaving the downtown cores because of work from home, I find that the only people renting office towers are the ones that want the best quality ones. Class A, in other words. They have the best amenities, the best quality, the elevator lobbies are just amazing and impeccable.
Yeah, perfect locations.
Perfect locations. So the easy targets would be the Class B, the 25% vacancies. Mm-hmm. Class A's are about 16% vacant. But the problem is that these conversions are time consuming and costly. If you think about it, an office tower has in the middle, it's where the washrooms are, right? All office all the way around, but you have a common area for bathrooms. In residential, all those bathrooms, every single unit needs its own bathroom and needs its own plumbing, needs its own kitchen as well too. So that completely changes how you would service the building.
Yeah, by examining the floor plate of a commercial building, you'd see the problems that it poses because you have to build individual stacks of everything for each individual unit. Not only that, but commercial buildings are actually controlled centrally through their HVAC controls. If you were to have that switch to individual controls, that also means that you're not only introducing plumbing, but you're also introducing wiring for each individual unit to be metered, as well as their own individual HVAC controls.
Also the marketability of it, right? I mean, you kind of want balconies as well too. And many times office towers don't have balconies. So you gotta carve that out. You gotta factor that as well. But even forget about the balconies. Financing is gonna be a hard thing right now. Especially during a high interest rate environment like this, when banks aren't so keen on lending to any kind of real estate at all, let alone office towers, there's gonna be a portion of period where they're gonna have to lend money to something. And that something is an office tower, which they don't wanna lend money on. So the amount of capital is not gonna be there. That's the issue. And I guess the other issue is that when you're converting an office tower that typically charges anywhere from $40 to $60 a square foot, if you divide that out, that works out to about $3 to $4 per square foot, which is the same as what you would get for residential anyway. So it's not like you're increasing the revenue. So it's not like it would help by converting an office to residential. It just allows you to fill the demand a little bit more. But that's all, takes a lot of time and it's very costly to do it.
Right, so if we were to look at the pros and cons of actually doing that, with 12.9 million square feet of commercial properties that can be converted, only 25% actually qualify based on the current rules. What that really means is that once you build out, say, 500 square feet, one bedroom apartments, you're really only left with about 6,000 housing units that can actually be pulled from the current inventory of vacancies.
That's a great point. Actually, there's a lot of considerations that you gotta think about, such as can the electrical grid handle it? Is the water and sewage sufficient? Is there gonna be public transportation? I mean, I guess there are office towers in Class A or Class B areas and they would have off public transportation. But if it's off the main city center, maybe the transportation isn't there. There's other things like sidewalks, retail space, access to medical care. That's another big thing as well too. So you're right, there is a lot of considerations that have to go into it.
Not to mention, because these are so expensive to actually convert, usually the people who can live in these properties tend to be better off. They tend to have more access to money. And that really poses the issue because a lot of people are vulnerable in Toronto and they actually need affordable housing.
So in other words, when we're creating this type of housing, we're not creating it for affordable housing purposes, unless somehow the different levels of government contributed money to it, whether it's federal, provincial, or municipal, and actually gave some money to create affordable housing options, right? Mm-hmm. They gotta kick a lot of money in to do that.
We saw that recent article that said that there was $55 million being pushed towards one particular project in Calgary. And that's something that we'd like to see here because that would actually go a long way into helping us create more housing units.
So speaking of projects that were done in Calgary, let's talk about ones in Toronto that you've seen.
So the one that I like to point out the most is 90 Sumac Street because that used to be the offices of the CBC.
Oh yeah.
And that's been converted into a hard loft. But also because the conversion process was so costly, it's a very expensive place to buy real estate.
But those are also really beautiful properties. I mean, we have 18-foot ceilings. Some of them have outdoor terraces on the rooftop. Mm. It's just an amazing space. I love that building.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Another one I really like as well too is 111 St. Clair West. If you know where the Longos is, just on St. Clair and Yonge, or just west of it, or Avenue, I'd say, mm-hmm. between Avenue and Yonge, they have an LCBO on one side and they have a Longos on the other side, which is super convenient. It's called Imperial Plaza.
So one that I really like is 7 Thomas Street. It's right in the heart of the city, right outside the streetcar and the subway lines, across the street from the U of T campus and next to the Mars Institute. It's an old building that was converted to office space and then it was converted back into residential. And I think that's a wonderful use of repurposing it multiple times.
One condo that I really like is the Tip Top Factory. So it used to be a factory, I think, not an office, I'm not sure, but they turned floors 1 to 5 to industrial lofts, soaring 13-foot ceilings, 14-foot ceilings maybe. And then above that, they built 2-story lofts on floors 6, 8, and 10. And I love it because it's just so open, it feels great. With the Loblaws going in that area, I think that's a really cool project as well.
There's also the merchandise lofts on Dalhousie. It was a warehouse, but they had some offices on certain floors, but the way they've just designed everything, I feel like it's a great use of the old architecture that was before. And I actually think it could be a template as to how we design these conversion projects in the future, because they did manage to do it across a very large floor plate and they have many different sized units, many different shapes. It still suits a wide variety of people who want combination living space there.
If only you can get through the having to take 2 elevators. That's the part that I don't like about that building. There's also 201 Carlisle Avenue, which is the garment factory lofts. So that used to be a garment factory, as it was called. And that was a great conversion as well too. Again, big loft feel, nice open spaces down in the east end of Toronto. I like that one as well.
We have a lot of great examples. Those aren't the only hard lofts that we've had in Canada. And you know, we do actually have projects where they repurpose a lot, like Distillery District was entirely repurposed. So it's not something new. The only issue is it worth it to create 6,000 housing units?
Potential 6,000 housing units.
Potentially.
There could be more.
This just goes to show that converting existing real estate to residential purpose to solve our housing crisis may not necessarily be a bad idea, but there are many things to consider and it's not as easy as it sounds. So we can't always just throw this out as an option.
What you're saying is that it's probably not the answer to solve our housing crisis.
Right.
Okay, well, thanks for watching. But before you go, make sure you check out this video here. If you're caught in a situation where your tenant is given notice to leave, but yet your carrying costs are super high and even getting a new tenant at market rates won't cover the cost of that rental, what do you do in that situation? Thanks for watching and we'll catch you in the next video.
Add it up. Thanks for sticking out to the very end. I hope you got some value out of this. Do me a favor, please press like and subscribe, but more than anything, leave me some feedback so we know what to produce for you going forward. Thanks again.